Christmas time as family, and some might not know that was special for me because that was my wife and my sister and my mom and my grandma, and got all the ladies together there. My daughter is just a little young. I'd be afraid of what she'd do if I let her get behind the microphone, but it'd probably be entertaining. This time, if you take your Bibles, and we've been reading out of Luke chapter number 2, you say, Pastor, I didn't bring a Bible. Right in front of you, between those two blue psalm books, you're going to find yourself a black book right there. That is the Bible. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 2, where you've been hearing reading from all evening long. I'm going to attempt to keep a promise right now that my church folks are doubting. And that is, I'm supposed to preach a 10-minute message. They don't think I can. We're going to go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verses 8 through 11. We're just going to read a few of these. As I mentioned before, our focus, we want to be the Word of God. In the whole entire world, there's a lot of people that will tell you they know what they know, that they know what you should listen to or what you should follow, that they've got the answers. I tell you, in all the world, there's only one absolute truth, and that's the Word of God that we hold in front of us right here. So we're going to go to that truth, glean from those truths, and share a message that the Lord has laid on my heart this evening. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that in a nation that seems to have turned its back on you, we still have a day set aside from work and busyness and running around to stop, to pause, and to take a focus on the most important thing there is, and that is the gift of your Son that you sent down to earth 2,000 years ago on that silent night. I pray that you would guide my words, that I'd speak only what you would have me to speak tonight. Lord, guide our thoughts and our message here and work on hearts as we look at a silent night when a Savior was born. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we sang about earlier, the Christmas story occurs on a silent night, a dark, quiet night. There was no great announcement in the marketplace. Trumpets did not sound from the balcony of the palace. No crowd gathered in anticipation. At this time, the world slept. But on that silent night, heaven moved greatly. On a quiet hillside, as we just read about, outside of Bethlehem, shepherds were keeping watch of their sheep, a pretty mundane, normal, kind of lower class job to have. But God had shattered hundreds of years of silence that night. No prophet had spoken. The Old Testament had been finished. Visions hadn't come except for to Joseph and Mary. The heavens seemed silent. Yet to these shepherds, light pierced across that dark sky. Glory flooded that quiet evening, and angels shouted. This was not like the birth of kings like Herod and Caesar in Rome. No, this was the birth of the King of Kings. This was the arrival of God's answer to man's greatest need on that silent night. A Savior was born. I want to look at a few aspects of what this night entailed. First aspect I'd like to look at is the fact that the silence of that night revealed the condition of man. Luke chapter number 2, verse 8, we read there where it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." The Bible is careful to tell us that it's nighttime. Darkness had covered the earth, but not just physically dark. It was a very spiritually dark time. Israel was under Roman rule, and the people, yes, they were religious. They had Pharisees. They had the Sanhedrin. They were religious people, but they were lost. They had scriptures, but they didn't abide by them. They had tradition, but they did not have peace. They had sacrifice, but they did not have salvation. For centuries, heaven had been quiet. We call these oftentimes the silent years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. The silence was not because God had forgotten about man, but because man had reached the end of himself. The silence declared several truths. First of all, man could not save himself. Man needed a savior. Yes, they were religious, but religion itself cannot remove guilt. It can make you feel better about yourself, but I'm not here today to preach to you religion, but the Word of God. Morality even could not restore fellowship with God. Darkness always exposes the need for light. A few moments ago, as we sang Silent Night, Holy Night, and we turned the lights off and we were holding our candles, all of a sudden those candles that if we turned those on right now wouldn't seem so obvious. But when it's dark, it was necessary to read the words on the page. That quiet night was heaven's way of showing that man was lost, helpless, and in need of a divine intervention. And then came that intervention. There was an announcement from heaven, and it revealed God's plan. Verses 9 and 10 in that chapter number 2 of Luke that we were reading, it says, "And lo," so in the middle of that silent night, it was quiet, it was dark, they hadn't heard from God in hundreds of years. They were religious but lost folks. It says, "And in the middle of that silent night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." All of a sudden, it's not nighttime anymore. It's shining. So much so that they were afraid. The Bible says actually, and they were sore afraid, very afraid. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Hey, when man could not reach up to God, God sent down a message to say, "Hey, I've sent you the answer," and he's lying in a manger. First reaction of the shepherds was to fear, and rightly so. If you were out in a dark night watching sheep, and all of a sudden the sky exploded with light and angels were there talking to you, you'd be scared too. A sinful man was standing in the presence of the glory of heaven, and they were afraid, and fear was a natural response there. I think of the fear that's a natural response when our guilt is exposed by the light of God's holiness. The angel's message was joy. They said, "Fear not." Yes, we are all guilty sinners, but they said, "Fear not." Why? Because even though we cannot save ourselves, salvation had arrived. The announcement was called good tidings, not demands of us to do good works, but good tidings because the Savior had come. It was called great joy, not a heavy burden. It was declared to be for all people, not a chosen few. Notice who heard it first. This message was not sent to the king's palace in Jerusalem. It was not sent to the priests or the scholars, but to shepherds. As a regular, normal person, I'm glad that the Savior didn't just come for important people. He came for us all, working people, men without great religious stature or standing. God was declaring from the very beginning on this Christmas night that the Savior did not come for a few elite. He came that the lost might be saved. Then there was a title given, a very important title given. A title given in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 11. We read it. I'm going to read it again. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel could have announced many things, but heaven chose a very specific word. That it wasn't just Jesus coming to tell us some nice stories. It said, no, behold a Savior. The angels didn't come and say, behold a teacher, or behold a great good example, or behold a nice person. Or he didn't say, come behold a reformer. The angels said, behold a Savior. A Savior only makes sense to come to those who need saving. A Savior is only needed when someone is lost. A Savior only needs to exist because rescue is required. This child was born, and his purpose was defined as a Savior. And I tell you that each and every one of us tonight, no matter if we knew every word to every song that was sung, no matter if we've attended church every day, every Sunday from the time we were born, we have one thing in common. All of us. Short, tall, skinny, fat. All of us have one thing in common. And that is that we need a Savior. We are all sinners. You say, why? Why would you tell me that I'm a sinner? Don't take it from me. Once again, it's the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. The Bible's pretty simple. I love the Word of God. It doesn't mince words. God said, for all. It doesn't leave loopholes for some of us not to be sinners. We're all sinners. We're all guilty. The Bible goes on to say that because of that sin, the wages of that sin is death and hell. We are all sinners on our way to hell without a Savior. But a couple chapters later comes the greatest Christmas gift in all of history. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Through this Savior that was born on this silent night, Christ our Lord. From the moment he entered into the world, his mission was clear, to save sinners and take them to heaven. He was Christ. He is the anointed one. He was Lord. He is God in authority. If we sang the songs, the Hallelujah chorus, we'd sing words and names for God like Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. But I want to focus tonight on the fact that on that silent night, he was born our Savior. Yes, he was the Mighty God. Yes, he is wonderful. Yes, he is Counselor, but he's our Savior. And each and every one of us need that Savior. He's first declared to be Savior because salvation is our greatest need. In all the world, hunger, shelter, there might be a lot of needs, peace from wartime. But the greatest of all the needs in all mankind that is equal to every single one of us is that we need a Savior. And then he makes it personal. He says, unto you. Jesus didn't just come for us collectively. Jesus was born your Savior personally. He was born to save my soul. And he was born to save Mike's soul. And he was born to save Christina's soul. And he was born to save David's soul. Unto you is born a Savior. Look carefully at the words of God, the words of the angels recorded here in God's word. Unto you is born. It didn't say unto the world is born. It didn't say unto Israel is born. It didn't even just say unto mankind is born. The word they're used is a singular word. Unto you. This is not a distant announcement to be sung about and then forgotten. Folks, tonight, as we look forward to Christmas morning, tomorrow, as we celebrate this silent night, this is a personal gift. A Savior
was born for you. The Savior was not just born to be admired, though. This salvation we can speak about, we can sing about, we can know about it. But it is only ours when we receive it. I wonder, have you come to a time in your life, individually? Now, your mom and dad can't save you. A preacher, I can't save you. If there's something I could do to save the souls of lost folks all around Idaho, man, I'd do it. Even if it made me look like a jerk, I'd do it to save souls. But I can't save you no matter how much I want to. But that Savior born on that silent night came to save you. He offers you a free gift of salvation. He says you can't even work for it if you want to. It's a free gift. But tomorrow morning, when I give my children their Christmas gifts, if they hold it, if they inspect it, they can turn it around and they can admire the packaging and the wrapping paper, and they can admire the skillfulness of use of tape on the wrapping paper of the gift. But until they receive that gift to themselves, it's not theirs. It's offered to them. I can hold it out to them, but until they take it and receive it, it's not theirs. Oh, what a shame it would be to go through Christmas of 2025 without receiving the greatest gift, the Savior who was born unto you personally on that silent night. Savior in a manger means nothing if he's rejected in your heart. There's a lot of religious people who know a lot of head knowledge about the Word of God and know all about our Savior, but to die without receiving him and suffer an eternity in hell. I tell you, that Savior doesn't want that. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because he said so. It says in the Bible, it says that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should receive his gift of salvation. I like the response of the shepherds. They didn't debate it. They didn't put it off. They didn't delay. Say, oh, we'll go look into this Savior guy a little bit later. No. They left their sheep behind. They said, we got to go. They went and they saw and they believed and they fell on their face before a Savior. And I tell you tonight, don't delay, friends. On this silent night, a Savior is born for you, to offer you a salvation that every single one of us so desperately needs. Don't delay. Run to that Savior. Fall on your knees and receive that salvation. And they changed. Christmas is not simply about what happened in Bethlehem, but what must happen in all hearts because of who was born in Bethlehem. Amen. So the question for all of us this evening, and for my church folks keeping track, I have 3 minutes. What will you do with the Savior? Will you sing about him? We did. Will you maybe tomorrow, as I will with my family, open the Bible and read the Christmas story and read about him? That night was quiet on earth, but heaven rejoiced and angels proclaimed. Glory shone round about and hope arrived. Hope of salvation, eternal salvation. But this message that the angels shouted 2,000 years ago still demands a response from us today. The Savior was born because man was lost. He came because judgment was real, and he arrived because though we are sinners, his love is greater. And on that silent night, a Savior is born. And tonight, folks, tonight that Savior is calling. He's calling, will you come and receive that greatest Christmas gift of all? Salvation through Jesus Christ. The question is not whether or not he was born, whether or not he died, whether or not he offers full salvation. The question is whether or not you will receive him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this night. But tonight we gather and we thank you for that silent night. We thank you, God, that you sent us your Savior. You sent us your only begotten Son. That we don't have to perish. We can have everlasting life. God, I pray tonight that we'd remember, we would think about that silent night. We'd realize and remember our need for a Savior and the Savior that was born, the salvation that is offered. And I pray that we'd rejoice in that. But those that have not maybe received that tonight, I pray that they'd come and receive this gift this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.